Good morning, everyone. I want to start off doing something a little different this morning. And I'm going to need help from the congregation to help me with what I want to do. And what I want to do is I want us as a congregation to list as many names of gods or titles of God, attributes of God, anything that you can think of that can and does describe God. And we're going to use the alphabet to kind of go through. So starting with the letter A, just shout out some attributes, names of God that start with the letter A. Oh, awesome. Almighty. Letter B. Bread of life. Good. Some other ones are beginning and end. Bright and morning star. Bridegroom. C. Coming King. Cornerstone. What about D? Deliverer. Dad? Daystar? The door? What about E? Everlasting. And El Shaddai. What about F? Good. You guys are great. G. Yeah. A good shepherd. The gate. What about H? Good. Heavenly. Heavenly, good. What about I? I am. Emmanuel, good one. Intercessor is another one. What about J? Jesus. Jehovah, good one. Judge. What about K? King. What about L? Yeah. Yep, light of the world. Lily of the valley. Good. What about M? Good. Mediator, manna, Melchizedek. What about N? He's nice. Can also say Nazarene or name above all names. What about O?
Overcomer.
Overcomer, good one. Omega, good. Offspring. Very good. Very good. What about P? Prince of Peace. Prophets, promise of God. Now the hard one, Q. Quiet voice, works for me. This little sheet I have says quail from heaven. What about R? Rock. Yeah. Risen. Root of Jesse, the remnant. What about S? What about T? Truth? No. About everything, okay. teacher, Tree of Life, what about you? Okay. As on my sheet, undefiled and unlimited atonement. What about V? Victory. The vine. The veil rent. What about W? The way, the truth, and the life. Yeah. Water of life. The word. Another hard one, X. Extremely good. My sheet has excellent, so the E is silent. And it also has X-ray. Because he can see through the people and into their hearts. And last one, Z. Oh, Y, I'm sorry. It's not on. Ooh, Yeshua, yes. Your Yahweh. And Z. Zion. Very good. Very good. Give yourself a round of applause. This morning I want to talk about two names, two titles, two terms of God. And the first one I want to talk about is the Son of Man. And we're going to be mainly in the book of Matthew this morning. So if you want to turn to the book of Matthew, we're going to be bouncing back and forth through Scripture in there if you want to follow along. The first passage of Scripture that we're going to be looking at is Matthew 24. And we're going to be looking at the coming of the Son of Man. And interesting that we sang the song, The Days of Elijah, during worship, and I thought that was very fitting. And starting in verse 29, it reads, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other." The Son of Man appears in the Gospel of Matthew 28 times. And in chapter 1 of Matthew, in the genealogy where it begins with the Abrahamic covenant, which is a promise, and then it goes to the Davidic covenant, which is of kinship, and then it ends with Jesus, the coming Messiah. The title, Son of Man, in the book of Matthew, is Jesus making himself known on earth to the Jews, and the fact that he would suffer and be put to death as the Son of Man. Jesus said in Matthew 15:24, "I am sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." The term Son of Man in the book of Matthew also reveals the earthly mission of Jesus. Matthew 12:8 reads, "For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day," which is Jewish. Matthew 20:18, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death." Jesus uses typology about his death. In Matthew 12:40, it reads, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." And in Matthew 13, verses 37 and 38, He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. I want you to notice something about these verses I just read and all the other verses containing the phrase Son of Man in the book of Matthew. They all point to a Jewish, earthly, and sacrificial death perspective. I want you to hold that thought because we're going to come back to that in a moment. But next, I want to talk about the next name, title of God, and that is the Son of God. So we first talked about the Son of Man, and now we're going to talk about the Son of God. The title Son of God appears 9 times in the book of Matthew. The name Son of God in Matthew reveals his mission role for heaven and for the church. Interesting, and in the first three times that we see Son of God in the book of Matthew, it has Satan and his demons using the name Son of God. Starting in Matthew chapter 4, in verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, If you are the Son of God, command these stones become bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He shall give angels charge over thee. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So why does Satan use the name Son of God? This is because Satan is a spirit being, and he recognizes Jesus' eternal heavenly position. Satan is tempting the Son of God, and that title reveals more about Jesus, his majesty, authority, and his much larger role than that of the Son of Man. If you're following along, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 8. And this is where the demons recognize Jesus as the Son of God. Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 28. And when he came to the other side into the country of the Gadarenes, there met him 2 possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? It is clear that Satan and his demons knew that Jesus was the Son of God. They did not bother with the name Son of Man. The next passage using the name Son of God is in Matthew 14, starting with verse 22. This passage is about Jesus walking on the water. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It's a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. So he said, Come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O ye of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, Truly, you are the Son of God. Notice that the disciples recognized Jesus as the Son of God and worshipped him in verse 33. I believe that we can say it is believers and those who worship Jesus that recognize him as the Son of God. Our next passage is in Matthew chapter 16, starting with verse 13. Matthew 16, starting with verse 13, and this is Peter confessing Jesus as Christ. When Jesus came into the region of Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, But who do you say that I am? And Peter answered him and said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, Blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I want you to notice about this passage is that Jesus declares that he is Son of Man, but the disciples still see him as the Son of God. I believe we can see here the earthly and heavenly roles of Jesus. The next passage is Matthew 26, starting in verse 62. Matthew 26, starting in verse 62. And the high priest arose and said to him, Do you answer nothing? What is it these men testify against you? But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Notice in this passage, Jesus confirms to the priest that he is the Son of God, but then Jesus says to the high priest, who is a Jew, You will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand, coming in the clouds. This passage shows us his earthly role as Son of Man and heavenly role as Son of God. Satan and his demons understood who he was. The disciples believed and worshiped him as Son of God. Our next passage, we're going to move to the book of John. And in John, we're going to look at chapter 9, starting with verse 35. This passage is about Jesus healing the blind man and the Pharisees throwing him out of the synagogue. And starting with verse 35 in chapter 9, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, Do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe, and worshiped him. Notice in this passage, Jesus finds the man he healed and gives him an opportunity to believe on the Son of God, not the Son of Man. Therefore, showing us that followers of Jesus will see him as the Son of God. Did you also notice the healed man had the true vision because he believed on Jesus, and the Pharisees had the true blindness, even though they could see, because they're rejecting Jesus. Going back to the book of Matthew, we're going to go to chapter 27, starting in verse 39. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking the scribes and the elders, said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he is king of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" Notice here the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders use the term Son of God, but they use it in a mocking way. They did not believe or worship Jesus. The Jews refused to see Jesus as the Son of God. Next passage is in Matthew. Actually, we're staying in the same chapter. We're just going to go down a few verses. Matthew 27, starting with verse 51. "Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were open, and the many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many." So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, and they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Notice, it was the centurion and the Roman guards who said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." It was not said by the Jews. Now, there is a possibility that the centurion and the Roman guards believed on Jesus as the Son of God. The other possibility would be that they knew he was the Son of God just as the demons knew it, but they did not believe or worship in him. But remember what Jesus said in Matthew 16, verses 16 through 7. Simon Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered, said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father who is in heaven." A point to ponder. Can someone know Jesus as the Son of God without the Father revealing it to them? I would think that the centurion became a believer, but I'll let you decide that one for yourself. I hope you have made the distinction and gained an understanding between the two terms, Son of Man and Son of God. Son of Man is his role he has for the earth and for the Jews. In other words, to the Jews, Jesus is the Son of Man. Son of God is the role for heaven and his church. In other words, to the church, to us believers, Jesus is the Son of God. I want to go back to Matthew 24 and read that passage again, starting in verse 29. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall far from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other." With an understanding of the Son of Man is for the Jew and the Son of God is for the church, in verse 30 we see they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds. Who are they? They are the Jews and the Gentiles left behind after the rapture. My next question is, well, where is the church? The church is raptured in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting with verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an angel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Next verse is John 5, verse 25. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. So the church is raptured and taken out of this world, for we are not of this world. Those left behind are the Jews and the Gentiles, the unbelievers, to go through the tribulation. Immediately at the end of the seven-year tribulation, the Son of Man appears on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Where is the church as the Son of Man appears? We are with him, according to Colossians 3 and 4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13, so he that may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all the saints. That's us. That's the church. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Revelation chapter 19, starting with verse 11 and going to 14. Revelation 19, verse 11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. The church is part of that army that will follow him. I want to end with the word elect as it pertains to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 31. The elect in this passage refers to the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, and not the church. Why do I say that? The church recognizes Jesus as the Son of God, and the Jews recognize Jesus as the Son of Man. This passage in Matthew 24 tells us they will see the Son of Man appearing. We as the church will be with Jesus as he comes down from heaven to bring the kingdom of heaven to the earth. The church cannot be in two places. We can't come down with him and also be here. The church does not see Jesus as the Son of Man. It is the Jewish nation of Israel and the unbelievers left behind who will see him appear as the Son of Man. Acts chapter 15, starting with verse 14. Simon has declared how God at the first visited the Gentiles to take them a people, to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophet agree, just as it is written, after this, I will return. I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will set it up. This passage tells us that God visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. This describes the church being taken out, being raptured, if you will, And then in verse 16, it says, after this taking out, after the church has been raptured and taken out, God will return and set up the kingdom of earth. This is the appearing of the Son of Man coming back for the Jewish nation of Israel. So after the rapture, the end of the church age, God will deal with Israel during the tribulation, and they shall be sifted as grain, according to Amos 9:9. The church is the elect of heaven, and Israel is the elect of earth. Nowhere in Scripture do you read angels gathering the church. The angels are always gathering the nation of Israel. Matthew 24 is for Israel, and it's not for the church. There is so much more to say about this topic, and I hope to share more in the coming months. I hope you received a better understanding of the Son of Man and the Son of God. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you that we know you as the Son of God. Thank you that we're a family of God, and that even on the cross when you said it is finished, we know that the penalty you paid is finished and that you conquered death and the grave. But all those things are finished. We know that you're still working. You're still working in each of our lives. You're still working in our families. You're still working in your church. And you're still working on the nation of Israel. There is still work for you to do. There are still dreams that each of us have, still hopes, and you're still moving and operating and working in it all. And we still have a duty and a call to go out and to preach the gospel, so that when you do call us and we go up in the rapture, we can take as many as would receive and accept you as Savior. Father God, I just thank you for this church. I thank you for this time. And I pray that you bless our fellowship and the food that we're about to eat. I ask it and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If anybody needs prayer for anything, we'd be happy to pray for you. Please come up.